bars can be many things to many people. A den of iniquity, a dating market, or in the case of Seattle writer Hannah Brooks Olson, an office, a finishing school, and a daycare facility. She shares this essay.
I always joke that dark, divey bars are where I'm most at home, because that's where I first learned how to talk to people. I mean, we learn speech at a young age, on the mats at preschool or at home, mimicking our parents. But forming phonemes is different than really talking to people. Most of my life, I've supported myself through talking my way into AP classes, and talking myself out of a trespassing charge when I pretended to be a caterer in order to eat leftovers after a banquet. Talking to people, the kind of talking that I learned in bars and from bar flies, requires a quick wit, sure, but it's also about what you do when you're not speaking. It is impossible to be a good talker without being a good listener. My mom calls it the gift of gab, but I think it's more like the skill of sticky bar top socializing. And I mean it when I say I grew up in bars and that I grew up talking. When I was 2 and 3 years old, my grandfather, a salty old Marine with a majestic mustache, gray and wiry, combed and waxed into a kind of grin on special occasions, used to take me to the bar with him when he was babysitting. I'd hop in his truck, always a Ford, and nothing else. And ultimately, we'd make it to our final destination, the tiny tavern in Eugene, Oregon. A dim and peanut-smelling place, he'd sit me on the bar and put me to work. Tell him a joke, Hannah Brooks. He taught me all of my jokes. With a cloud of curly hair and freckles, I'd charm the patrons and the workers. I had one really good one, my bread and butter, and one that I didn't fully understand until I was at least 10. Why did the chicken cross the road? To show the possum it could be done. He showed me that good conversation is like a river. It just keeps going. I found my way into bars before I was 21. In college, I got a job as a cocktailer at a fancy restaurant. Too young to legally open any of the bottles, I could still serve drinks and wink at the older men and hustle my way to rent. It was a really nice place and a not bad job, but I couldn't quite get the banter down. There's a kind of patience required when talking to rich guys who think they own the world. And because you're in that world, they own you. I don't have that kind of patience. So I applied to work in an all-night diner that's known for its tough love attitude. In my interview, the manager, a greasy little man in gold chains, told me I needed to, quote, have some cojones to work there. I stared him dead in the eye and told him I was a lot tougher than I looked. And I proved it in the face of his relentless sexual harassment. Still, to this day, that was my favorite job. The patrons were crusty, and they expected a little bit of sass. They reminded me of people I knew, people like my dad and my grandfather. Working class older men are my target demographic. I find that they get me, probably because that's who raised me. After blue plate dinners, they'd tip in coins, in cash, and in weed. Occasionally, they'd buy me a shot to do with them, of whatever brown liquor was on the bottom shelf. The day I graduated from college, I worked at the diner instead of walking in a cap and gown that I couldn't really afford to rent anyway. Some of the retired fishermen who'd come in regularly for Friday dinners brought me a balloon and a card and $25. I threw my first and last punch in the alley behind that place because a drunk bully dared me to. He went down like the Titanic. I 86'd a snotty college girl for calling me trashy. I made friends with an old cabbie who'd give me rides at bar close and never let me pay. I'd stash dollar bills in the seats and hope that he found them. And then there were the napkin notes, love notes from drunken suitors, and hate notes from everybody else. Let's go out sometime. Great, but I still have a lot of them in a shoebox. You're smarter than you look, fatty. Once a hunched over woman wrapped in a scarf wrote to warn me that I had a curse put on me.
I got these demons inside me. And they come out around this bar. But if you can look past them and just see me for myself, I think that we would get along.
Now I'm 30 and I'm a writer, and that's basically just a different kind of talking. I don't work at a bar anymore, but I work in bars all the time. Most bars, even the really grimy ones, have Wi-Fi these days, and I like to post up in a particularly dark booth and just bang out my assignments. There's something about alternative rock on the jukebox and a frosty PBR that is just conducive to stringing together sentences and finding the perfect word. I think every writer should work in a bar for at least a year, if only to be better at setting scenes. I know a lot of writers who love coffee shops, but they're too bright and too clean, and there's not enough beer. There is something eminently comforting to me about a bar. The low light, the familiar smell of cleaning fluid and stale alcohol and secondhand smoke that's miraculously lasted for more than a decade after the smoking ban. And the fact that there's usually at least one person whose job it is to make sure that everyone's safe. When I was about 22, my grandfather and I went to smoke cigarettes and drink Coors Light in the Goshen Tavern just outside of Eugene. It's the kind of place that still has a hitching post outside, and it was our first time sharing a drink in a bar when I was of legal age. He told me that he liked that bar because it's good to have a port in the storm. I think about that a lot. When I first moved to Seattle and could barely afford to eat, one of my first tasks was finding my port in the storm. I'd stash away $3 for a cheap beer and a tip and go there once a week to catch up on the neighborhood gossip and make myself feel more at home. Even now, whenever I'm traveling, I still look for neon bar lights. I've had a lot of ports in the storm over the years, and I'm always looking for more. I'll still stop into a dark, damp dive with posters of last year's sports schedules and dingy dollar bills pinned to the ceiling, wherever I am. I'll play pull tabs, and I'll talk to the person behind the counter. Sometimes I'll ask if they've heard any good jokes lately. So if you ever see me at the bar, come say hi. I'd be glad to talk. And if you ask, I might even tell you a good one.
Whiskey, won't you come?